Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils. And you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
All right, well, it is officially hockey season, Bobby. I know it was Friday and Saturday because we got to watch our wonderful New Jersey Devils take all 4 points out in Prague, but today is actually the first day of the NHL season.
Right.
How does that make you feel, Bob?
It makes me feel great. There's two wonderful, wonderful things about October. The first is hockey, specifically Devils hockey. And then the second is it's like no utilities month. I love this month. You're not cool in your house. You're not heating your house. You're just kind of sitting there saving a couple $100. And you maybe you get this a little bit in April too.
Windows open. I have had my windows open downstairs for like the last two and a half weeks. No air, no heat, no nothing.
It's nice.
And it's glorious.
It's very glorious. I have oil heat, which is a pain in the ass to keep track of, pay for. I love this month. Kind of preps me up for everything. But yeah, real hockey's here. We got three games out today, right? We got the Blues at the Kraken.
Yep.
We got Bruins at Panthers. Is that not going to be canceled? I mean, I guess they're trying to get that in. Get everybody out? I mean...
Well, I just saw that the Storm is, which is why Tony's not here today. He's freaking out because he's got that property in Tampa. He's got family in Tampa, so he's worried about that. But it looks like the report that I just looked at, it looks like the Storm is heading a little bit further south. So it does look like Tampa is going to be spared on this. So thank God for Tony. Hopefully he doesn't have any damage. But they said they were going to get the game in and then, like you said, just get everybody out. Tampa Bay, I know like the Buccaneers, I think they're playing the Saints next week or something. And I think they already went out to New Orleans or wherever they're playing and got away. Okay. They were also talking about the Lightning. The Lightning game, I guess whenever that is tomorrow, I guess they play. They weren't sure about what they were going to do There was a bunch of, I didn't hear too much about the Florida Boston game though.
I was just curious. Cause even if they're not in direct path, this thing's gotten bigger and it's still dealing with a lot of, we've dealt with the weaker edge of hurricanes. It's still no picnic, but so hopefully they're going to get that game on and they're saying Swayman may start.
Okay. So that to me is setting up for Jeremy Swayman start the game tonight, pulling a hamstring or something and being out week to week after today and his new $8.25 million.
$8.25 million, right? So he did that. And then to finish off the games, we got Blackhawks at Utah tonight.
That's the one I'm really looking forward to
for tonight. But let's talk about Swayman for a second. So yeah, he signed on the dotted line for $8.25 million by 8 years. I assume you heard this Shesterkin news.
Yeah, I did hear the Shesterkin news.
So for anybody who hasn't, apparently, per Kevin Weeks and a few other sources, he turned down a record-breaking, especially for goalies, I mean, 8-year, $11 million average contract per year for $88 million. He said no. Now, we've heard rumblings he wants $12 million. Apparently, he really does. This is bad for the Rangers and great for us.
It's really bad for the Rangers. And I mean, let me just pose this one simple question. So let's say that Igor Shesterkin is a New Jersey Devil and we're in the exact same position the Rangers are now.
Yeah.
Do you sign him for $12 million? Would you want to is really what I'm glad you asked. A fan.
Because seriously, here's the thing. We said they're screwed. We've been saying this forever. They are. Literally, there's no out here because you have to sign him because he's the best in the league. And if you don't sign him, like, you're going to lose him for nothing here. At best, you trade him now and the other team knows he's going to want $12 million. Honestly, dude, I mean, I don't think that a $12 million goalie is worth it right now. When you look at our team as a build, for an example, we got barely anything left in the cap. We got a very full team, very balanced lineup. We're assuming things are going to go swimmingly this year. If you had a $12 million goalie in there, we easily have three or so less players.
I mean, for the Rangers, and I don't know their entire salary cap situation, and I don't know what their contracts are. What I do know is that Lafreniere and Keandre Miller are both up for extensions after this year.
Right, and Trouba's refusing to release his no movement clause, so he's not helping the team at all. Shesterkin's not helping the team at all.
I mean,
they really have to win now.
You can buy Trouba out, but you still have to pay that. The nut is still on your books. So what's the point?
Right.
Unless you can get this guy to agree to a trade, and even if you had to eat some of the money, it's still better than all of the money. But having this dude who, look, you just got offered $88 million. You got offered to be the franchise goalie for the next 8 years on a team that, look, other than Toronto and some other Canadian markets, I could throw maybe Boston in there. There is no bigger media market. There's no place he's going to make more money.
That's right.
And not just talking about a salary on the NHL level. I'm talking about everything that comes with being a superstar in New York.
Double it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we talked back in the summer, like, is Shesterkin going to be the kind of guy that says, I really want to win a Stanley Cup, and I understand that I can't take the entire pie and go sit in the closet and eat it when everybody else wants a piece of it, and I'm not going to be able to do that. And we talked about that. What kind of guy is Igor Shesterkin? Is he going to be the kind of guy that says, keep me around Bobrovsky at $10 million? We were even saying, does he deserve more money than Connor Hellebuck at like $8.5 million or whatever Hellebuck's getting, whatever Sorokin's getting? And we thought that that was a good comp for Igor Shesterkin. That's
at least a benchmark for sure.
And now we know what kind of guy he is. He's a guy that says, I don't care about winning a Stanley Cup.
Apparently.
I want $12 million. And you better pay me or I'm going to take my services elsewhere.
I mean, record-breaking. You got what you want. You want to be the highest paid goalie. That's always a good thing. I know these players come up and that's sometimes their goal. I want to be the highest paid shortstop. I want to be the highest paid goalie. I deserve it. Fine. Okay. Maybe you do. Maybe you are the best. But that would also have been true at $10 million, $9.5 million. Like $11 million. The Rangers, to their credit, were really trying to say, we know what this guy wants. Let's give him a really good offer and show him we're serious. And I mean, it's beyond fair. It really
it is beyond fair. Because, look, the bottom line is the man has played in two Eastern Conference finals in his career.
Right.
That's it. As far as he got. He's never hoisted a cup, never even took him to a cup final.
Right.
I understand how great this guy is. He's fantastic. You know, he's a treat to watch when he's not playing the Devils. He's a great goalie. I enjoy watching him. But you're talking about so much money in a salary cap league, and I get it, the cap's going up and everything else, but you know, if Lafreniere has a year like he did last year, right, what's he worth? $9-10 million? You know, what's Keandre Miller, who's one of your stud D? I mean, he is basically, him and Adam Fox are your two best defensemen.
Right.
What are you going to pay him? There's just not enough to go around. So these guys are going to, I agree with what you said earlier, like, this is, in my opinion, this is it for the Rangers. If they do not win the cup this year, I think that window isn't just closing. I think it slams shut and locks, and that's it. You're not getting it open.
Especially if they pay them. I mean, if they do go up to pay them, that's it. It's this year. And as far as, you know, what the question you posed to me, like, in all honesty, you might just have to trade them. Like, you're going to really let them walk for nothing if you can't sign them? And I know they want to try to win this year, but beyond that, well, this is just a terrible spot for them.
You know, it also comes down to, you're going to look around and say, can we win a Stanley Cup with Jonathan Quick? I think if Quick is healthy in playoff time, and he's not a guy that started 50 games for you during the regular season, then yes, I do think Jonathan Quick still has it in him. He's done what Igor Shesterkin has, and he's won Stanley Cups. Do you make that move? I mean, if it really does come to an impasse where you can't lock this thing up and he really is firm on $12 million, you're going to find teams that'll pay him.
Sure.
But
well, you know, it's not going to be the best contending teams because they're not going to have $12 million for a goalie.
No. I mean, look at, you know, so Boston has a great goalie. They have him for $8.25 million. You look at Florida's got Bobrovsky, $10 million. But Bobrovsky won you a Stanley Cup. Like, you can't argue the $10 million.
No.
No matter. And everybody bitched about the $10 million before 2 years ago, right?
Right.
Oh, Bobrovsky's getting paid this much money. He hasn't done anything. Then he took him to a cup final, and then he won the cup. So you're willing to say, okay, that's, you know, what this guy's worth. He's a proven winner. But if you haven't won anything and you're Igor Shesterkin, I know your numbers are great. I get it. You've won a Vezina. Well, so has, you know, Connor Hallebuck has two
right.
Vezinas. You know, he's at 8 and 8.5, whatever. Like, that's the number you should be at. The fact that the Rangers are even, like you said, saying, look, we appreciate who you are and what you can do for this team. We're going to give you $11 million. And he still yeah. thumbs his nose at you?
Right.
I don't know and how.
And I don't know about their farm system. And I don't know about, like you mentioned, all of their current contracts. But if you put it in this like a devil situation, we would at least be able to say, well, you know what? Our core is all locked up for a very long time. That's not going to change. As far as, look at the defense we're already trolling out there. We could literally move a few guys and millions of dollars and maybe not miss a beat the way Casey's playing, you know, with Luke and Nemec. And then forwards too. We just have the depth. I don't know if they have the depth. Like, this would be hard for us to do, and we can do it and still be good. They haven't gotten to paying their players yet. Like you said, the Lafreniere hasn't been paid yet. Like those guys. So I don't know.
And, you know, most organizations believe that, well, if it's going to be $10 million for a goaltender, or maybe look at like where New Jersey is, right, where we have $6 million for both our goaltenders,
right,
and a strong defense. I think most ownerships and most management would say, give me the money to bolster the defense, to get my blue line good, and I'll show you a goalie who maybe is middle of the road, and I can make them really good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look.
For sure.
It's, you know, you look at Colorado winning the cup with the Kemper, and you're looking at, you know, Aiden Hill winning the cup with Vegas. Like, these are not guys that are Igor Shesterkin type players.
Right.
But they're just on great teams with really, really good defenses.
It's literally an advantage to have the best goalie. Absolutely. But is it that much more of an advantage over a balanced team with great defense? I don't know.
It's not.
I don't think so. It's not.
It's not.
So pardon me if I'm a little distracted. I believe Starling Marte just hit a 2-run single to make it 4-0 Mets.
Nice.
In the sixth.
Nice.
So going well.
Have you gotten around to watch any of the Amazon Prime series, the Open Ice, or what is it called?
Oh, no.
Inside the End. You haven't seen this?
No, I totally forgot that that's available.
So I binged this thing yesterday, every episode. So I think it's 8 episodes. It's really, really well done.
Awesome.
Follows around most of the playoff teams from last year, a few players on each one, where it starts off really kind of talking about going into Jeremy Swayman and his run last year. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, tons of behind-the-scenes stuff, which is pretty cool. I like Swayman's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was saying, like, last year he went to arbitration. And, you know, he was going on about how terrible it is. We've talked about arbitration, how yeah. awful it is for players. You know, nobody
totally.
Likes to go and sit down and hear your bosses tell you how much they hate you. You know, and he's like, you know, and everything they were saying, I just kind of wrote it down. Like, has not performed in the playoffs.
Right.
Check. Did that this year, you know, everything. So he's kind of taken his receipts. And I'm sure that that played into his hardline stance this summer of not signing right away with them. Like, we went to arbitration last year. I know
right.
how you guys really feel. And so I'm going to try and get as much as possible from you. But it was like his story, you know, where he grew up in Alaska and then where, you know, the Boston Bruins went last year. They got a really great thing on the Colorado Avalanche and Gabriel Landeskog and, you know, everything he's been through with his injuries and everything. And that was really awesome to see. But the last two episodes, then they had this one episode that was just called The Captains, which focused on Trouba, Quinn Hughes, and Gabriel Landeskog.
Cool.
And, you know, that was a good episode, just kind of like the different ways that they all lead and everything, where you have one guy who leads through his physical play and being a big mouth, and Jacob Trouba, the very quiet, subdued Quinn Hughes, who's, you know, and then Gabriel Landeskog, who tries to lead that team from basically the locker room because he's not out there with them, which has got to be frustrating. The last two episodes were Cup or Bust Part 1 and Part 2, and it was Connor and Matthew Tkachuk, essentially.
Right on.
That was really interesting, especially seeing Connor McDay. I'm sure you've heard the
clips. Yep.
Yeah. Of his complete meltdown after, I think it was game 2 of the final in Florida. You know, just, you know, really having a meltdown, rightfully so. And then they started the episodes with Edmonton going after the loss of game 7, like just going into the locker room and like nobody saying anything.
Oh,
and
man.
Connor McDavid just broke down crying. Like it was like, and you get it, right?
Yeah, I mean, totally. It's guy, real life stuff. Yeah.
When, you know, they showed a little bit of Connor McDavid's life from like 10 years old to today. This guy has never not had all the pressure in the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, this ain't me and you playing wiffle ball, man.
No.
Like, this is like...
You know, like he says, like, I've been wearing a suit and tie to games since I was 10 years old. Like, yeah. This is who he is. He's always had media around him. He's always had, you know, it's got to be a horrible way to live. It really has to be terrible.
Yeah.
And then all the pressure, too, of, you know, being in Edmonton and living in that shadow of those four cups and Wayne Gretzky and all that. And after watching that, I know I had said this summer, Edmonton's not making it back. I don't know, man. I think Connor McDavid is going to have a season this year like nobody's ever had. I really believe that because I watched that and I'm like, there's nobody more focused. Nobody takes this job as serious as Connor McDavid does. And I think that is going to behoove him and the Edmonton Oilers this year.
It's very possible he continues to have statistically better seasons for the next several. You look at some of the numbers that Gretzky put up in a single season and you look at what, you know, McDavid's been able to do. And yeah, he is one of the most driven people I've ever seen. And when your entire life is that one dream to win that Stanley Cup and you're there, I mean, it's game 7. There's no way you can tell me that everyone to a man isn't going home saying, what more could I have done? Just one more little thing. You know what I mean? Because all it may have taken. One more little thing. One shot that goes in the net. One save. One block shot. Like, man, to be that close is awful. You really do feel for them because we're all sports fans and like we go through things. We're like, I don't care. I just want my team to win. Like, yeah, screw you and your feelings. It's about me and my team. But when you really break it down, you look at the human element of it. Man, that's just got to be tough.
It was great because Gabriel Landeskog is talking and he's like, you know, I've gotten like now I watch the playoff games and I'm on the edge of my seat and I'm, you know, holding my breath through every play. And when you're on the ice, you're not doing that at all. You're playing hockey. It doesn't matter the situation out there. You're in the moment. And the guy says to him, so you're basically a fan now. And he's like, yeah, I have been resorted to being just a fan. And yeah, that's what fans do. We live and die with every single thing that our teams do. And it's a ton of fun, but 99.9% of the time it ends in epic disaster and a giant fail and you're miserable, but it's the ride, right? It's just the journey. Like, we don't know who's going to win the cup this year, but we're really looking forward to the 80 games the Devils have left.
That's right.
You know, but I highly recommend it. It was very well done. It was very cool to see. Matthew Tkachuk is a complete and total douchebag. On every level, I mean, the guy is just such a ball buster.
Nice.
And he loves being that. He takes such pride in it. Like him and McDavid, they were going back and forth in the finals and now they're mic'd up. So you actually hear some of the stuff, you know, like he just skates by McDavid. This one time McDavid's like talking to the ref about something. He's like, what the fuck are you bitching about now? And like just skates by him and gives him a little elbow, you know, and they're like each other's face all the time. Talking shit to each other. It was really cool to see. I definitely recommend it.
Oh, I'll be on it for sure.
So, I mean, I guess that's the housekeeping around the league, right?
Yeah, for the most part. That's big news around the league.
Let's do our little ad reads here, and then we will jump into Devil stuff, you know?
Good.
This is a new one. The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now. The puck's dropping on the 24-25 season. Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Super easy for first-timers to get started. Just hop on DraftKings. You could pick something simple like just a team to win or a goal, or you can place on shots. Select your team, place your first bet. DraftKings will take care of the rest. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up, because new customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/ice. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
I got to tell you, I'm so excited for this game we're going to on Thursday. There's nothing quite like live hockey. And if you're looking for tickets to the game or any sporting event or concert for that matter, check out the Game Time app or go to gametime.co. That's .co as in C-O. Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I just went on this app for the first time today. I got to tell you, it's very robust. I very much enjoyed it. The user map is awesome. It's extremely user-friendly. You can see what's available. You can see these highlighted super deals. Definitely something you want to check out. Some of my favorite parts about this were actually the full seat view and the low price guarantee.
I like low price guarantee.
That is the best part. This is the app you want to use to get your New Jersey Devils tickets. The features are amazing. Things like priority game time picks, all-in pricing, panoramic seat views, the lowest price guarantee, as we said, we love that one, and game time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with game time picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? It's game time.
It's game time, baby.
Game time.
Now, Thursday at 7 o'clock, it will be game time for our Devils. Let's talk a little bit about this game, Bobby, and, you know, I'm super excited for it. This is a big game for a home opener.
You know, are the expectations higher now that we're 2-0 because we're taking a little break? Or is it more acceptable? Like, oh, they came back overseas. They might lose. It'll be 2-1.
I think that I think not so much that the fact that they've already played and won two games. I don't know if that's what makes it kind of a little bit more pressure on this game. I think it's just also the fact of who you're playing. I mean, you're talking about a team that is perennially in the playoffs. Like, you know, Toronto is going to be good. And not to mention the Sheldon Keefe factor. I mean, I'm sure.
Great storylines, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I know that we play him a couple of times a year, three times a year. He's going to get a couple of cracks at him. But to have it as your home opener, right. This is Sheldon Keefe's first introduction to the Rock. First introduction to, you know, the crowd, and he doesn't want to lose to this team.
And the crowd's going to be manic. We are going to be animals at this game.
I am really looking forward to it. And
Sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say, the stories have been great, too, because even the coach storyline for, you know, the first two that we just played, that has its own storyline. And now we're coming in and kind of the inverse of that. And I know home openers. I know how well the Devils tend to play. Everybody knows when you're a home opener, you're talking about major enemy. The crowd gets energy. The crowd gets behind you. And uh, I just, I fully expect a win. I really do. Not only for the entertainment value of it, I just feel like they're going to have the jump. And I think the team as a whole is just really on a mission this year.
I agree with that. I mean, they looked great in Prague, and I understand they weren't playing a very good team. This is definitely a big, much bigger test for this team. But I also think that they're ready for it. I just think that this team, Sheldon Keefe isn't going to say, hey, guys, I really want this win. But everybody right. in that dressing room knows that we're playing his old team, and they're going to want to go out there and take a win. But, you know, just getting those two wins up front is huge. Now, I want to go over their games in October, and let's see where you think that they might legitimately finish. And we have a small sample size. We've seen it through, you know, two games. We know they have the Maple Leafs on Thursday. What do you think, Bob? Is that a win?
I will say that is a win. That is a 4-2 win.
4-2?
Yeah.
Okay, 4-2 win. I think it's a win as well. I think this team is going to be, you know, you got to keep in mind too, Toronto's playing Montreal, I believe, tomorrow night.
That's right.
So I don't know who we're going to get in goal. They're going to get Markstrom. So I do think we win. Score-wise, you got a 4-2 win. I'm going to go 5-3. I just think that you're not going to keep Toronto off the board. But I think we can put 5. And then Saturday, we have a big game against the Caps. And this is in Washington, our first real away game.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night against the Capitals. I expect that they have to win that game. They've got to beat Washington. Washington embarrassed us in almost every game last year.
Forgot about that. Yeah, and I just don't know what this team is. I will continue that I believe they're on the downward trajectory. So, yeah, I want this one too. And now we're getting to that territory already, right? And we're already 4-0. And just mathematically, now you start to question, you know. But we have an advantage because we already know two of them were actual wins.
This is true.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have probably said 3 weeks ago, we did say it, well, most likely going to get a split in Prague, right?
Sure.
That didn't go that way. We won them both. Now we get Toronto in our home opener. We beat them. I'm not sure if this is Washington's home opener or not. I hope so, because I think that we have to go and beat them. And I think we will. I think that the Capitals are going to be the first team of the Metropolitan Division that's going to realize, oh, shit, this isn't last year's Devils.
Right. You're coming from the standpoint of like, okay, enough's enough. These are teams we're supposed to beat. Let's actually beat them this year.
Yep.
You know, and maybe throughout the full series you might drop one, but kind of urgent in the beginning of the year.
And then we get a really fun game on Monday, October 14th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon against the Utah Hockey Club.
Mm.
This is a game I'm really looking forward to.
Me too.
I didn't realize why it was at 1. I guess it's Columbus Day on Monday.
Right.
So I have no idea what this team's going to look like. Really looking forward to watching them tonight against Chicago. But again, it's a home game against, you know, look, the Coyotes came in and beat us in game 2 last year.
Yes, they did.
So do we have that in the back of our heads? I say Devils are going to win this one too. I think the Devils are going to be 5-0 by the time Monday rolls around.
Yeah, it's tough to pick against them on this one. I mean, it's still basically the Coyotes. And the Devils should be mad. They should really want this game. And again, I mean, it's a inferior team. So let's just go happy homer. I'm going to go with the W as well. We're going 5-0 to start.
All right. John Marino comes back to the Rock and he gets pounded. Devils win that game.
Be a good story for Utah to win. I don't know what their schedule is before that, if that's only game 2 for them or what. But if we are already 4-0 and expectations are going through the roof and they come in here and beat us, would be a hell of a story for them.
It would be. They are playing, let's see, Utah. They have the Blackhawks tonight. Then Thursday night, they have the Islanders. And Saturday night, they have the Rangers. And then they play us on Monday. So they're not a back-to-back, but it is for us. This is the first of a back-to-back. We play again on Tuesday against another team that I'm super curious to see how they're going to be playing this year, and that's Carolina. Okay. Are we going 6-0?
I'm not. I do think we're going to be a better team than Carolina. I don't think they're going to be near us in the end of the standings, but 5-0, back-to-back, it's still tough, even though Allen, my confidence is back with him. I just feel like I have to put a loss somewhere. I'll take a 5-1 start.
All right. I'm sticking with them. I'm going 6-0. And then Thursday night, the 17th of October, we're in Ottawa to face the Senators and Travis Green revenge game. again, I'm going to go with the Devils on this one. Like, you want to make the playoffs this year. You want to compete for the Metropolitan Division and you want to make a long run into the playoffs. You got to beat the teams that you should beat. And yeah. Ottawa is definitely one of those teams. So I'm 7-0.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. We're going to beat them. We should beat them. They're up and coming as well. But we literally last year shouldn't even play into anyone's thinking. We should be an extension now of the team from 2 years ago that actually is better and playing a better brand of hockey. So I'll go with the win and keep me at 6-1.
All right. This stretch gets a little bit, you know, I could see a loss or two in here. Then on Saturday, October 19th, we're back at home playing the Capitals again, the second of our fourth. I still think we're going to win that. I think we're going to be 7-0. And I believe Tuesday, October 22nd, is we drop our first game, and that's against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
This is not a back-to-back or anything?
Nope. Saturday night, we play the Caps, and then Tuesday night, we play the Lightning.
Yeah, I'm going to say Caps take out a little revenge on us. And we get a second loss, but we beat Tampa. We really play up for Tampa.
Okay.
So I'm still one loss more than you.
You are. And then we get into the third back-to-back of the year.
Already. We're still in already. October.
We're still in October, and this will be our third back-to-back. October 24th is in Detroit. I'm going to win there.
Me too.
We got to beat Detroit. And then we are on the, and then we're, I'm sorry, we're in Detroit. And then October 25th, we're home against the Islanders.
Islanders play us tough.
Yeah.
Back to back, traveling from Detroit. I hate to do this. I'll go with a loss because it does happen.
All right, I'm taking the win against the Islanders. So right now, I only have them dropping the Tampa Bay game.
Right.
The last two games of the month are home against the Ducks on the 27th. That's got to be a win.
Yes.
Got to beat the Ducks. We can't be doing this shit like we did last year, dropping games to Sharks and Ducks and, you know, Coyotes. Yeah, exactly. Just giving points away. Can't do it. And then we finish up the month of October on the 30th, where it looks like we are heading out west for our first Western Canadian road trip, where the Hughes boys will be reunited in Vancouver on the 30th. That's going to be a good game.
Oh, for sure.
So what do you think?
It's going to be a good game, and it's going to be, this is the start of a big road trip. I'm going to give them the win, though.
All right. So you
just
got them.
Like this summer when they win for the Stanley Cup.
I like it. I still don't see Vancouver getting there in the West.
I know. Well, now things have changed.
Yes.
Prediction was based on a healthier goaltender. And just one of those teams that just picks it up. By no way am I saying they're going to have a better regular season than like the Oilers or Dallas or anything like that. I just was picking a team that I thought could kind of get hot and get through. So I've been saying it at least five times. So I'm going to stick with it. Devils beat them for the Stanley Cup. But it's going to look pretty hard now.
I mean, I think Vancouver's going to be a really good team. I still think the one team that people aren't talking about, and is if Landeskog comes back, watch out for the Avalanche, because I think they can. He brings a whole different element to a team that they have not had since he left.
Yeah,
and I think that they could be a really dangerous team. So you have them month of October losing two games. I have them losing one.
Oh, I have three.
Oh, you had three losses.
I got the Carolina game, the second Capitals game, and the Islanders.
And the Islander game. I have the Tampa Bay game, and that's it.
So I got them going 10-3.
Whew.
I got them going 10-3, and that's great.
I got them going 12-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them going 12-1.
Didn't you say 11-0 last year?
No, it was 8-0. 8-0. It wasn't so many games in October. But, yeah, I mean, if you can bank wins in October, we know how important it is to just bank them. Doesn't matter where the standings are. None of that matters in October. But if you can just bank points, because you're going to hit some skids. You know, yeah. The season is long. You're going to go on losing streaks. Other teams are going to go on winning streaks. The Rangers are going to be really freaking good this year. And I think that if you can keep them at bay, I think you can have a stranglehold on the Metropolitan Division next year and moving forward for the next 3 or 4 years. I really think that they are set up, the Devils, to be the best team long term in that division. This year's going to be tough because the Rangers, and I think a lot of those players know it. I think they know, like, look, man, the only way I think the Rangers drop a little bit is if they really cannot get this thing settled with Shesterkin. And if management does say, look, even though we might, like, what's more valuable to us? Keeping Shesterkin and maybe winning a cup and then him walking in June or July for nothing. Or we can't get this deal done, you know, I don't know, pick any middle of the road team that needs that wants a goalie that's willing to pay the guy and are willing to give up a king's ransom to get him, even if it is only for a shortened period of time.
Right.
You got to weigh those options. You know, if you're management for the Rangers, I think the Rangers, no matter what, they will not trade Shesterkin. I think that they would live with the consequences of him walking in July or do everything they can to make sure they can keep him, pay him, whatever. I do not see a world. No. And the only way is if something happened to the Rangers that like happened to the Devils last year, where they're ravaged by injury, they're not going to make the playoffs, right. It looks really bad, then possibly if the deal's not done yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really don't see them trading him. I think that the Rangers as a whole will let their ego take over, and they're going to give him the 12th. They're going to do whatever it takes to keep them. And then they're going to have to do some major cap gymnastics. And I don't think it's the right move. Like, all things said and done, I don't think I would let a player dictate that you're going to hamstring my franchise.
I agree.
Or maybe you're looking at it going, well, and again, in 4 years, that contract doesn't look so bad. Well, you got a different team. You know, I don't know. I think I would do it.
Saying 4 years, $10 million doesn't look so bad. $9.5 million doesn't look so bad. 12 is a lot of money, no matter who you are.
Still bad.
It is a lot of money. Like, look, Jack Hughes, if he was up for a contract right now, is probably not getting $12 million. Right. He's the best player on our team. I guess Shesterkin is the best player on their team, but still, goalies are generally undervalued. To an extent, you know, there is the few guys that get the money, but for the most part, they're underappreciated. Yep. They're underpaid. But $12 million is just, talk about resetting the goalie market. I just don't know the next guy that goes and wins a cup. You know, what's like if Markstrom wins the cup this year, the Devils win the cup. And Markstrom is due for another contract. Let's say he wants to play another 3 or 4 years. Let's say he wins a Vezina and a cup in the next 2 years. Is Jacob Markstrom going to want $12 million, $10 million, $11 million? Maybe. He ain't going to get it from us.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, it resets everything.
It resets it too.
And I don't like
too.
It. Yeah.
And I've never liked those types of contracts. And I think I've used the Shohei Ohtani contract as an example in baseball. Best player in the game, yes, might possibly go down as best player ever the way he could play his two positions. But the leap from like the biggest player getting whatever, $360 million or what, to $750 million, like it was an unnecessary, like 75% increase. It just, now the market's not really following that because that was a unique situation. But I don't think giant leaps like that are good for any particular sport. No. And again, I'm sitting here as a person with you, like we said, 10, 12 regular season games on average all those years, and then playoffs, okay, you want to go to a game, not go to a game, until it got to the third and fourth rounds when tickets just were absolutely impossible to get, at least for the money we were making at the time and stuff. It is affecting me. My drive here from Pennsylvania is maybe 10, 15 minutes longer than it used to be from Toms River. It really right. isn't much longer. That's not my hindrance. It's the overall cost of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, every year when I'm buying the tickets for the guys, I'm like, is this going to be the year where we like, let's go a little bit lower on the bowl and get a little bit different experience? Or is it like, no, I'm going to just buy my $150 ticket so I can enjoy myself an American whiskey and, you know, Reds and just have a little pregame fun, you know.
But it's still crazy ass expensive.
It's crazy ass expensive.
You know, and you're talking about to go to a game. We've talked about this a million times, like back at the old Meadowlands. You know, with the ticket, with beers, with parking and tolls, you're maybe in for $50 the whole night.
Right.
And, you know, now it's three times that. And that's to going by yourself, you know, let alone you want to bring a family of four. You know, it is ridiculous. But that's why we have nice TVs now, so we can just watch them on there.
And we're talking about the sport with the lowest payroll. I mean, if anything, like I said, our athletes deserve more overall. You give me a hockey player, the average hockey player should be making more than the average basketball player. That's just 100% fact.
Well, that's never going to, these basketball players get paid unbelievable amounts of money. But like, you know, but contracts, like you talked about with like Otani and stuff, like you look at like in football when, Watson wanted to leave Houston. He said he wasn't playing there anymore. He didn't want to play. He had all those sexual assault allegations against him and everything like that. And Cleveland traded for him, gave up, I think, 3 first round picks, a couple of other picks. I think there was even a player in there. I'm not 100% sure. So Houston got all that, which ended up becoming, like, I believe, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and a defensive guy or whatever. Or one of them, it might even be this year's first round. And they paid Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed $245 million. Wow. The only player in NFL history to have 100% of his contract guaranteed. This guy had like 20-something, 30-something sexual assault allegations against him. Hadn't played football in 2 years. And you gave up everything to get this guy. And look at their record. I think they've won one game. I think he maybe, if he's not dead last in every major statistical category for a quarterback that's played all 5 games, he's close to it.
Wow.
Like that's just a bad, terrible contract. And anytime any team does a big leap and makes somebody the highest paid anything before they're kind of, you know, when you're just kind of projecting of what they can do, I just think it's you're living on the edge. I don't think that it's smart for any organization because you are putting the entire future of your organization on the hopes that this is going to work out. Right. That in 2 years' time, you are not just carrying bad contracts on teams that can barely make the playoffs or do whatever. And I just see that I don't care that it's Shesterkin, the Rangers. Any team, if they were going to pay their goalie that kind of money, it's how I would feel. It's just mind-boggling to me. And you know they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else? Like, we always say the business side, like it's a bad thing. Well, you know what? Sometimes I'm happy there's a business side. Sometimes I'm happy there's really a guy sitting there going, this is going to blow up our franchise. Now, do you want a contending team for 10 years with actual chances to, say, win a Stanley Cup? Or do you want one shot at the window this year so that we can keep whatever? And that's why some of these decisions are hard and they're awful. And again, Devils fans, we're going to have them. No doubt. We're going to have them. We're going to be cutting players, not cutting, but not being able to sign some players that are your favorite player, because we got to keep the other, somebody else's favorite player. That's the price you pay for having this much talent when everybody deservedly so should get at least what they're worth. But at some point you got to make hard decisions. I'm glad it's not me. I get so emotionally attached to the players. I don't know who I'd want to go first. You know, we've talked about like the two or three absolute don't goes, but then that other whole other level, I don't know. I love them all. But the reality is, you know, those decisions have to be made, and you owe it to your fan base and to all the other players to say no once in a while.
Yeah.
Because it's not in the best interest of the long-term view of the franchise. We all know what rebuilding is. Everybody gets there, and rebuilding sucks. The only good thing about rebuilding is that you know you're rebuilding. And then you watch the games differently. You watch and say, hey, listen, I want to see an entertaining product. I want to see these kids trying hard. I want to see them without fear because they don't know what it's like to lose a game seven of a playoffs. And you deal with it.
You want to see them get better. Right. You know, we saw it with the Devils, right? Like, we were all excited when they got Nico Hischier. Nico Hischier is still growing into the player he's going to be. I feel like, you know, he's finally kind of arriving this year. I think will be a big step for him. And then you add Jack Hughes. You also have to hit a couple of diamonds in that rough, a la Jesper Bratt.
Always.
You know, and Dawson Mercer. Nobody expected Mercer to make the team when he did. Right. He was, you know, that was Alex Holt's spot. And Mercer said, no, and took it. And that's you right. have, you know, you have to be able to draft well. You have to hit on your top picks. That's the biggest thing. You have got to hit on your top picks. Because look,
at least two out of every three.
I mean, Jack Hughes, we picked twice in the top spot, right? Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier, one of those guys don't hit. We are talking about this Devil team completely different.
Let's say, like, go back to Nolan Patrick. Let's say we chose him. We want the big body, big centerman. And no, you know, what he could have became is not the story. He was actually a very talented hockey player. It just didn't work out health-wise and all that. But we know we picked the right person. I think everybody wanted the Hischier person, but personality. Yeah.
Capo Caco going second. And there was, I mean, the fact that there were even people saying, you guys should not take Jack Hughes, you should take Capo Caco.
Right.
Like, can you imagine if Hughes was on the fucking Rangers right now?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. that they would have, I think they probably would have won the cup last year. If they had him, they probably would have won the cup last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it's, rebuilding is very hard. And the last thing you want to do, and this will be the last thing I'll mention about the Shesterkin thing. But, like, we heard that he turned down $11 million. We know that that's what the Rangers offered. Now, I didn't hear $12 million. I don't think you heard $12 million. I right. think this is what everyone's assuming. What if it's, like, 13? What if it's more than 12 that he's saying, no. Yeah. I want to get paid.
You're right. And, I think I just kind of heard it in passing on, like, NHL Tonight, where they're like, there's probably this guy's a $12 million. Yeah.
I'm sure that that's the number because we heard those numbers getting thrown around back in like July and August.
Right.
And we were like, we're hearing that his camp is talking like 12 million. And we were like, I don't know if that's legitimate or not, but apparently it is definitely over 11.
He's definitely not waiting for 11.1. You know what I mean? He would have taken it.
And it just really puts the fact that nothing got done and their hockey starts tomorrow. I think the Rangers play tomorrow. That is also something that's very worrisome as far as management goes, because nobody wants to deal with a contract before the end of during the season. So now the next time you have to maybe sit down with him and his agent to try and work out a deal is when he doesn't have one. Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
Because if they don't get something done before July, everybody is going to be offering this guy $12 million plus.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know everything about the guy, but I honestly can tell you that, like, I'd want to win. Like, I would really honestly and truthfully want to win. You have a very small amount of time. You're playing in the best league in the world. Like, it's all you've ever wanted.
Yeah.
And I mean, if the Rangers came to you and said, listen, I can't do 12, but I can do 11 and still give you a possible Stanley Cup team, and you still say no, then that's on you. Go play for whoever can pay you.
How much more is your life changing if you have $88 million or you have $96 million.
Yeah, I don't even know what the equivalent is to what I make. Right. What is it? Is it like another $10,000 a year? Like, I don't know.
It's probably less than that.
Right. $10,000 to me is probably way more important than another million to him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody told you, okay, now you're getting $10,000 more a year, that's a nice chunk of raise.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you're talking about $88 million to $96 million is the difference between 8 by 11 or 8 by 12.
Right.
And to me, it's really you're gonna play hardball over that? Like, you're
like you said, in New York City,
right? You have, you know, it's, you know, look, it couldn't happen to a better fucking franchise.
Ooh, I agree.
Curse. I shouldn't have done that.
That's Sorry. Twice anyway.
We're trying
check
to
check that
watch
explicit
our,
button for this show.
I guess we have to this time. And we do every time, but.
Pretty much.
But anyway, what are you looking forward to? What do you want to see for Thursday night from this team? Like, what are you expecting? And then give me kind of your score, first goal, and all the other shit. So give me your breakdown.
I am actually expecting a continued improvement from game two, which would be very awesome to watch. I want to see a lot of pressure. I want to see them taking shots where they have them. I want to see them blocking shots when they can. Kovacevic's on record today talking about the team doing that, and specifically Nico Hischier and how it's firing up the team and making everybody follow through. If our captains do, he's like, as a defenseman, we do it. But when I see Nico doing it, and then it just trickles down the lineup. So nice. I just want to see that. I want to see that full desire to win, to excuse me, to remember every single point is so valuable, and to go out there and catch it. So again, I've said, I think it's going to be 4-2. First goal, home crowd. Let's go with our boy Mercer.
Okay.
First goal, Mercer.
I mean, one of the things that I noticed in the last two games was just the fact that they are willing, not just willing, to forecheck, and not everything has to be on off the rush. I think they had more offensive zone time off their forecheck in those two games than they did off the rush, mm-hmm. which is huge yeah. for this team, because that was one thing last year they just couldn't do. And we talked about how abysmally boring and predictable their power play was for so much. It was so nice not seeing that stupid drop pass and, you know, Jack coming up through the neutral zone with it. It was just so nice to see them actually saying, we can dump it in and go get it.
Right.
And we can outwork you for it. And you look at most of the goals, that's how they were scored, with offensive zone pressure. I think Toronto is going to be flying. Toronto wants to beat Sheldon Keefe so bad. These yep. guys do not want to go home and listen to the Toronto media talk about how Sheldon Keefe just beat you. Sure. So I expect them to be playing super hard. But we went over it on the last show, right? We have the advantage on the blue line. We have the advantage in net. We probably have the advantage, or we're tied when it comes to our forwards. Mm-hmm. I think bottom six, we have the advantage. Our top six, I'll say, is pretty much a wash. I mean, I love Austin Matthews. He could score from anywhere.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner is, you know, guy's ridiculous with the puck. William Nylander, also on that show, the one on Prime, the inside the NHL yep. one, they did a really awesome thing on William Nylander. Very, very cool dude. I like him a lot. So, you know, that team's going to be really good. I expect that this to be a really... If I expect it to be high flying, I expect the teams to be up and down the ice. I really do. I expect lots of chances. And if that's the case, I give us the edge. I think that Markstrom is a better goalie than Wall or whoever their backup is. I know we talked about it, but I don't even know who it is or who will be playing on Thursday against us. But I do think we have the advantage. What did I say the score was going to be? 5-3. I'm going 5-3, and I do think that it was the first two games were kind of like the Devils unveiling all our new players, right? It was like the, you know, New York Auto Show, and we just mm-hmm. showed you all of our new cars, and look how nice they are, look how good they work, and they do everything. But now I think we're going to get into this is what our team looks like, and you're going to start seeing some of the, you know, our yeah. main guys coming through. I think the first goal goes to Bratt. I think it'll be set up by Meyer and Hughes. That'll be it. I want to see our power play start clicking. Yeah, I saw this really cool interview on NHL Tonight with Seamus Casey. I don't know if you saw this yet.
No.
It was a good interview. You know, they were just kind of talking about his first goal, and he was in a car, and Kevin Weeks asked him, he's like, well, where are you right now? He's like, well, we just stopped for something to eat, and Jack and Luke are inside eating pizza, so I just came out to make the call. So, like, the fact that he's hanging with them, and, yeah. and you know, like, I like that. They seem like a nice, tight group out there in Hoboken having fun. And, yeah, so I expect more from him. And do we know if Brett Pesce's playing?
Yeah, well, again, speaking of Casey and – the depth on defense. Luke was skating today. with the team, doing drills with Pesci. We still don't know if he's playing, but just the fact that he's skating around is excellent. Pesci's going to come back in. Casey's still here. I mean, my God, what an embarrassment of riches. This is going to be something.
The depth on the blue line is so good. It's so nice to see. You know, like when our guys that were supposed to be our stalwarts on D last year weren't, you know, look, Marino had a bad year. Siegenthaler had a bad year. Hamilton's out. And we had no depth. I mean, it's okay. Two 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids. You're our guys. You're playing in situations that you should never have been put in. But at the same time, I think what they did go through is going to do nothing but help them going forward. So, I mean, I expect to see, even more so than Simone Nemec, a huge increase in production in Luke. I expect his game to go up another level. So I cannot wait to see him get back on the ice.
Yeah. And then the only other thing, you kind of touched on it, I want to see the continuation of that Hughes line, build the chemistry. I'm going to put that narrative to bed for a while. And it looks like he's not going to rush anything anyway. He's going to give it time to gel. I really want to see that gel, because that could be magical by midseason.
It's going to be.
Yeah,
it is going to be. I don't have a doubt at that. I really don't. And I think it would have worked last year. I think it would have worked when we first got him. Lindy Ruff had no patience. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing you can see in just the two games that Keefe has played.
Yep.
He's much more patient. He's willing to say, look, it's a long season. We don't have to throw everything in a blender right away. Let's let things work out. I want to know this isn't going to work before I go and pull the plug on.
I had such a problem, and I voiced it last year, seeing Meyer on the third line. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. You're so worried about, you know, supposed chemistry somewhere else that you really are going to put Meyer down in the third line. That was just ridiculous. Just let him play.
I mean, Lindy Ruff had some problems with a couple of players, and nobody will come out and say it, but it was obvious. And I think Timo was one of them. Obviously, Alex Holtz was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Whatever the reasoning was, but like, yeah, you got a guy who's our highest paid forward. He's our highest paid forward. He, you know, has pedigree. He's been on long playoff runs. You know what you're getting with him. And we were using him for like 30 seconds on the second wave of the power play and on the third line. It made no sense. And then bitching and moaning that the guy's not producing.
Right.
You know, you take two tires off the car, it's not going to fucking go.
I'm with you. It's so nice to even just – listen, Devils fans, you saw it last year, right? I mean, just two games in, knowing they haven't been – the lines haven't been shuffled, really is a wonderful thing.
It was really nice to see. So I am so looking forward to this game on Thursday night. I'm really hoping that they pull out a big dub, because I think that also sends a message. You beat Buffalo. Okay. I think we're kind of expected to beat Buffalo. And everybody talked about how great the team looked, how good Markstrom looked, how good the new guys all looked. Well, now you're playing like a contender. I want to see how this team comes out and competes.
Yep.
So
it's gonna be awesome. Right. Listen, final thing for me, dude.
Yes.
A little football news here. Did your Vikings get the Jets coach fired?
Looks like it. But
I mean, is 2-3? I know you told me they're supposed to be pretty good this year, but is 2-3? I know his overall record was negative, but is that a rush?
I think it's a rush, but it's also like, I don't know how much that Viking loss had to do with him getting fired. More so than there's been a couple of stories I heard that I think are really crazy. But so apparently Robert Saleh, I believe like 2 days ago, had called or on the way back from London, had called Woody Johnson, I think, is the owner of the Jets, and said that he was thinking about making a move and getting rid of Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. Now, Nathaniel Hackett, like most of those offensive weapons on the Jets, were brought in specifically for Aaron Rodgers. Nathaniel Hackett was his offensive coordinator when he was in Green Bay. Then he got hired as the Denver Broncos head coach 2 years ago, where he showed over, I think, 10 or 11 games that he is the most inept, incompetent head coach that there is. And he got fired before the season even ended. He was a clusterfuck. He couldn't manage the clock. His players had no respect for him. It was a whole bunch of shit that went on. Sure. But anyway, Aaron decided that he wants to come to New York, and he wants him as his offensive coordinator. So they go and hire him. He wants Alan Lazar. He wants this. He wants all the players he wanted, he got. And now he'll probably get Devontae Adams because he wants him too. So apparently Robert Saleh was planning on firing Nathaniel Hackett. Their offense is just vanilla. Aaron, another big problem is, like, let's just call a spade a spade. Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old, hasn't been a good quarterback in 3 years, 4 years. Right. So they were going to fire him. And then Woody Johnson comes out and says today that he spoke with Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the phone, where, but he says, well, we didn't talk about the Robert Saleh thing. Bullshit. What I think happened is he said, look, Saleh's thinking about firing Hackett. And Rodgers said, no, you can't fire Hackett. He's my guy. Saleh's the problem, blah, blah, blah. And they fired Saleh. That's what I think happened. I think this was a lot more Aaron Rodgers being the manipulative little twat that he is and pulling the strings and everything. They have, like I said a million times, capitulated their entire organization to this one guy who is an egomaniac and literally has not played. Like, you know, you fired you. Everyone's like, oh, well, the Jets, this guy, Robert Saleh is a defensive guy. All right. He was the defensive coordinator for San Francisco. Had that defense as one of the best in the leagues, got that job for the Jets because of what he did in San Fran. Their defense is stellar. All right. Gotcha. Robert Saleh's defense isn't the one that threw a fucking interception on the last play of the game when you were going down to score a touchdown. He didn't do that. He didn't throw three interceptions in that game. You know, no, Aaron Rodgers did. Your offense did. But the problem is, so they got rid of Nathaniel Hackett. They got rid of Robert Saleh. So, I mean, it's nice to think that possibly it was because of the Vikings beating them. But look, the bottom line is that organization, like so many in sports that we see, are just run like shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you, as a Devil fan, it is so nice knowing that ownership knows what they're doing, or at least knows enough to put the people in charge and let them just do what they do. Josh Harris and whoever's in charge of the team and everything, I mean, they seem to be very hands-off and let Fitzgerald and his crew run the team. I mean, they bought the Washington Commanders. Look at that freaking team right now. Oh, my God. Jaden Daniels is doing shit that we never thought a rookie could do. They're playing fantastic. But I like my Vikings this year. We're 5-0.
5-0.
Got a bye week this week. There's some talk, though. It's weird. There's some talk that, like, possibly Minnesota might be in the market for Matt Stafford from the Rams, that apparently they might bring him over to take over. I guess they're not trusting Sam Darnold to go deep into the playoffs. And to me, if you make a move like that, that's a we expect to be in the Super Bowl kind of move. And look, I've watched this team for a long time. I know when they're frauds. I know when they're good. I know when they're bad. This is a good team.
Good team.
This is a good team that I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of good teams. I think Detroit and Green Bay are really good. But, yeah, it should be fun to watch. But
awesome.
The Jets are just watching them just fall apart. I didn't want to see it because I like the Jets. But this is what happens when you bring a guy like Rodgers onto your team.
Reminds me very much, you know, as a Mets fan, it just seems like bad decision after bad decision for the most part. Now, Steve Cohen owns the Mets, and he, to his credit, does try to make the right hires, but sometimes they go off and, you know, they get these first-year GMs, and they just get all these guys who just you don't have the feeling for it, you know?
Right.
And then finally they get a guy last year, like a baseball and a little guy from Milwaukee, a small market team, who makes all these little moves that nobody cares about, nobody hears about, and everyone's like, oh, the big market Mets, what are they going to do? And then, of course, they start off shitty. So everyone's like, yep, here they go again. Mm-hmm. And he just needed his guys to just become what they were. And like we've talked about, best record in baseball since May 29th. Hopefully soon here, maybe a win away from advancing to the National League Championship season. But yeah, it's a hard team to be a fan of because for a long time, they're in such disarray and the Wilpons didn't want to spend money than they did. And it was always the bad contract too late. It was Jason Bay for 4 years and $60 million who was done. And it was always these guys that were done just enough to make it shiny. and they last for you. Even Pedro Martinez. I loved Pedro Martinez, but there's a reason Boston said, I'm not giving you 4 years.
Right.
And then we got him. He did everything he should the first year or two. He was as advertised, better, brilliant, but then completely broke down and the rest right. of the team followed suit. So yeah, you got to just have a little more, you know, hindsight.
Complete opposite of what Lou Lamorella did for all his years of success in New Jersey, where we would be like, why is he getting rid of that guy? Yep. He always seemed to dump the guys a year earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I know that Scott Gomez is going to go here and he's going to have a good year, but then I think that I see there's going to be a dip in the production. He's always right. He was always, and that's just a guy that wasn't even old. But the older guys, he would dump a year early. They'd have one good year, and then they'd fall off the face of the earth. And you got out of it just in time. And the there's a reason that certain general managers manage teams in the managing those leagues forever because they're good at what they do. So when you're plucking new guys out or, you know, the Jets are just like the Jets got themselves to a point where they were so desperate. And that's really what it came down to.
Yeah.
And they had these blinders on, like we have wide receivers, we have running back, we have a defense. We just need a quarterback. So let's sell our soul for the quarterback.
Right.
You know, look, you had Josh Darnold, you had Zach Wilson, you had two guys that probably could have taken you where you wanted to go if you would have developed them properly, if you would have actually done the things that you have to do when you draft a quarterback. But no, we're going to go out and get a 39-year-old grumpy curmudgeon with an ego problem, and we're going to give him the keys to the car and, you know,
when he drives it off. Snap.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is nice to see that, like, we actually have stable ownership, stable management in New Jersey, and that's huge. That is huge. Or else you end up like the fucking Ottawa Senators, you know? And that's truly what happens. So, nothing else for tonight?
That's it, buddy.
Bob, where are we sitting on Thursday? You got the section?
Oh, I do not. Okay. Remember, let me double check. It should be right here, actually. Because we actually will be a little lower.
We will be at The Rock on Thursday. We will have tons of Uncle Pucker stickers with us. If you happen to be around or near section.
Coming.
I'm sure it's super high up.
No, it's not that bad this time.
No?
Well, it's 210, but we're only row 6.
All right. So section 210, row 6. That's where the puckers will be. So, yeah, anybody wants to stop by, say hello, talk some hockey, have a drink, we will be there. Really looking forward to it. If anybody else is going to the game, drop us a line. Let us know what your experience is like before or after. We are going to be on again on Friday night. We'll talk about the game on Thursday. We'll talk about the upcoming game against the Capitals. And look, now we are in it. We are in the season, so let's go. So far, so good.
Last year, Billy from the Trap found me just because I had an Uncle Pucker sticker on the back of my jersey. Just a tiny little sticker. Comes running down the hall. He's like, Uncle Puckers.
Nice. I'm sure Billy will be there on Thursday.
Yeah, he's usually there. So,
all right. So wherever you're listening to us, like a 5-star review, a positive comment, a download, a subscription. Helps a little podcast that could. He's Bob. I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers. See you when we see you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go, Devils.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!